So yes, we have the fourth Sunday through Eastertide. Our readings year on year are fairly well set, which is always interesting from a preaching point of view, because you have to try to keep, or you fall into the trap, I think, sometimes of feeling that you have to keep finding new things in texts that you know so well. My advantage at the moment is because you haven't really heard me preach much, so I can regurgitate what I like. Next year you may remind me something differently. But we have this wonderful sort of pastoral notion of the Good Shepherd. And this reading, this gospel reading, although very interestingly, the gospel text that we have speaks very little, actually, of Jesus as the shepherd. We hear of him more being spoken of as the gate. In fact, the lectionary kind of chops off the final verse where we move into, I am the Good Shepherd. This is a text that I, in some facets of the church, sometimes is used and I would suggest is misinterpreted as to offer a narrative of exclusion, that if the only way to that abundant life or to heaven is through Jesus, and if you're in, you're in, and if you're not in, well, you're not in. And that's very wrong, actually, and we'll touch on that. Really, it's the other way around, actually. It's a text on inclusion. It's a text about being drawn in. I think it's important to frame it within, as we should always do with Scripture. Context is always king. But within the wider context of John's Gospel, which is being written about and speaking to a community who are struggling to find their identity. A community who, in an early Christian community, who in fact have been rejected out of the places where they would have worshipped. They've been rejected, they've been pushed away from the synagogues because they have proclaimed Jesus as a Messiah. And so they have felt that notion of rejection, of exclusivity, if you like, that they're not allowed to be within the worship structure that they have known. And so very much in the Gospels, and we see that through our reading of Acts, it's this early church trying to establish its identity and where its place is in within the world, within what it now knows as the truth, if you like, of the gospel of Jesus. It's also important to read this morning's gospel within the context of the chapter of John before, where we read of the healing of the blind man. And again, so Jesus is talking to the Pharisees after he has done this healing of the blind man. And again, the blind man finds himself, initially he is rejected, because it's felt that his blindness is through a previous sinful life or his parents' sin or some other. And so again, the worshipping community that they find themselves in have rejected this blind man. But even after he is healed, he is still rejected and questioned. In fact, he's kind of put on trial to find out, you know, why what's happened to you? Why is that the case? And so Jesus is speaking into this, if you like, dual situation of identity and exclusivity. And actually, he's saying, my way is the way of inclusivity. My way is of gathering in. And so we have this picture of Jesus the gate rather than Jesus the shepherd. I'm guessing that Good Gate Sunday doesn't quite have the ring of Good Shepherd Sunday. But maybe we should name it. I think we should name it Good Gate Sunday, because Some of you will know my background and know that I always get labeled with Good Shepherd Sunday. I try and avoid it if I can. But an interesting reflection is, what does it mean to be the gate? What does it mean to be, if you like, the gatekeeper? And I think that's an important reflection for us as a church community. What does it mean as we welcome people into this wonderful worship space? But what does it mean to be a gate, to be an opening for people within life? And that really is the question that Jesus is asking. And again, he's asking that in the context of leadership. He is talking directly to the leaders, the Pharisees, the leaders of that worshiping community that have just rejected one of their own just because he was blind and then because he was healed. And Jesus is questioning that and saying, well, my way is not one of rejection. It's one of drawing in. And again, when we consider the notion, the picture of a shepherd, I'm wondering what picture comes in your mind. I'm thinking probably one of lovely watercolor paintings or literature and those sort of pastoral, comforting scenes of a shepherd with the sheep. And yes, those notions are very important. But actually, in a biblical context, shepherding is spoken about really in terms of leadership. The Old Testament leaders, Moses and David, were both shepherds. And so a lot of the narrative when we hear in Scripture around talking of shepherds, not just in the New Testament, but right the way through, actually is talking about what it is to be a leader, what it is to be a symbol of a king and kingship. And so when we start to weave these things together, that notion of leadership than it is of sort of pastoral care, but the two go together, and this kind of gatekeeper, this what it is to be the gate, we do hit on that notion that Jesus is saying, I am the way. Next week we'll have, again, that wonderful reading of John of saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus is here saying that if I am the way, and if I am the gate, then you living the way I wish you to means drawing people in. There's no talk here of good sheep and bad sheep. There's no talk of selection here at all. The only talking here actually is of choice. You have a choice. You can choose to live my way, and that will be the way that you were created to be. The only people that are talked about in a negative sense are thieves and bandits, those who come to destroy, to disrupt, to inhibit. They're the only ones who kind of choose not to go through the gate. And it's a wonderful sense, one that really does, I think, hit home at the moment, because there is this tension in different patterns and voices of leadership that are being spoken at the moment in different examples. And it's the one that we wish to pick up to hear, not the one that turns away, but the one that draws in. It's key, again, I think, that we reflect not just on the gate, but that notion of what it means to have an abundant life. Again, that language is quite a tricky one. And in some sections of the church, abundance means having lots of things. It's that sort of wealth gospel. It's, you know, if you choose Jesus, you're going to have a wonderful house, a wonderful car. Maybe, but that isn't really what the context here is. We're not talking about material things. If we think most of the advertising and a lot what goes on in social media around our lives is talking about that abundant life of the moment you live in scarcity. So if you buy whatever it is I'm trying to sell you, you'll have an abundant life. You'll have lots of things, but actually you won't, because you then need the next thing and the next thing, and it just builds on and on and on. No, Jesus here is talking about abundance as in fruitfulness, a fullness of life, of a wholeness, of you not needing to seek material things, but feeling welcomed, inclusive, and yourself. Jesus points us, draws us to be the one that we are created to be. We are created in the image of a God who loves us, so he wants us to be that creative being. I think this morning, as I was preparing for it, that notion of considering that question that I posed, what does it mean to be the gate, was one that struck me this week. And I think actually quite an important one, not just in our society, in our world, but actually for our church. What does it mean to welcome people through that door? What does it mean to gather as we have in a worshiping community as equals, as troubled equals, but as equals? And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether you want to sit down through the whole of worship, stand up, stand on your head. To be honest, I don't mind whatever you do, whatever you're wearing, whatever you've done before you come in here. Just to have you here is wonderful and is brilliant and is so encouraging. The key here is not who you are or what you do. It's just being here and knowing that you are accepted and that you are loved. And that coming through and being in a group that is in the gate. So I urge you this week, as we walk out through, and no doubt we'll hear many different voices that call us as sheep, to concentrate on what it means to hear that clear voice of Jesus and what it means to be the gate for others to hear that voice. Amen.